Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kyorkchiev.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. But first, before we get into anything, we hope that everybody listening is having a great holiday season. This is going to be a holiday special episode. Yeah, get excited. And for this episode, we're just going to be talking about the Thursday night football game, which the Niners versus the Titans, and our insight analysis on that. We're going to be talking about the COVID situation around the league right now. We're going to be talking about what exactly is going on with the Arizona Cardinals. And then we're going to be doing an evaluation on the Pro Bowl and the Pro Bowl roster that came out for both the AFC and the NFC. And then lastly, we'll be doing some rapid fire predictions for this Christmas weekend. Alex, are you excited?
I'm so excited for this holiday special, Michael.
I am too. And the first thing on the agenda is the Thursday night football game. I know, Alex, we talked about this before the game. You thought the Niners were going to win. How did that turn out?
Wow. I don't like the way this one started. That feels like a personal attack. But I was so sure that the Niners would win because all season I've been very high on the Niners and very low on the Titans. So this was like the perfect matchup for me to prove that I was right. And it looked good in the beginning. It looked good. The Niners were up 10-0, and then Jimmy Garoppolo kind of started being Jimmy Garoppolo. Had a couple really awful interceptions, and the Niners just couldn't overcome those turnovers. And ultimately the Titans won the game, which really did not make me feel confident in my opinions on those teams. And
yeah,
the Niners just can't seem to get it together. They looked like they were really starting to pick up steam and were going to make a late season push, but they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. And then these injuries just keep piling up. Debo Samuel went down late in the fourth quarter. He came back, but he's just frail, it seems like, which is really ironic to say for someone like him that is just so strong and electric with the ball in his hands, but he just can't stay healthy. And the Niners just can't seem to overcome themselves.
Yeah. And I personally also thought the Niners were going to win this game. So it wasn't a direct shot at you. I just wanted to say that because, you know, I knew that you had a lot of faith in the Niners, which I did not have at the time, but yeah, I was kind of surprised too. You know, we were looking midway through the third, Niners had a 10-0 lead. It looked like they were going to win the game and they were playing very well, but that Titans defense really stepped up. You know, they picked off Jimmy G twice. They sacked him a couple times, forced them turnover on downs late in the game, which was pretty big. You know, the reemergence of AJ Brown into that Titans offense was huge. This is a guy who, you know, a lot of people haven't been talking about because he's been injured all year, comes back, catches 11 passes. And, you know, that was a huge game for him, 145 yards right off IR. That's huge. He was, I think, in my opinion, he's the reason why the Titans offense was so good last night. And, you know, it came down to that Randy Bullock field goal. It looked like he missed it, but barely got it in there and they got the win. So I think with this one, I think, you know, the Niners losing this game, I think their playoff chances are done. I don't think they're making it anymore. And that's pretty disappointing. This is a team that has a lot of talent. You know, we saw them have that huge run in 2019. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan is a good coach, but he's only had one really good, exceptional year as a coach. And the rest of the years have either been awful or pretty mid. So I really don't think that this is good for Kyle Shanahan and his future with the Niners. I don't think he's done for or anything. But, you know, this is a game that they really kind of had to win. And losing this one's going to hurt a lot.
Before I give you a rebuttal to those takes, I would just like to say that this was a really aesthetically pleasing game. The Titans have some nice jerseys with the dark uniforms with the red like accessories. And then the Niners all white, I think, is like top three uniforms in the league. But anyway, Kyle Shanahan, I think, is nowhere near being done. I think he has at least next year, if not the year after, because they just gave up all these assets to go up and draft Trey Lance. That's Kyle Shanahan's guy. And I think Kyle Shanahan is going to be allowed to see that through with Trey Lance. And like you were saying with AJ Brown, AJ Brown was incredible last night. He is what makes that offense go with his ability in the deep passing game and short intermediate. He's just amazing all over the field. When he's healthy, he's one of the premier receivers in the NFL. And you even see him throwing passes out there. Granted, it was not a good pass whatsoever and should have been intercepted, but it had some zip on it. It wasn't accurate, but it had some zip on it. And that could have gave the Niners a chance to go back and win the game. So that was a lucky play by AJ Brown. But even without Derrick Henry, that offense is still able to go because of AJ Brown. AJ Brown is really easy on the quarterback. And you also have a guy like Julio Jones to take away some attention from AJ Brown on the other side. Julio hasn't been himself this year, but Julio is still really amazing when he's healthy, which isn't as much this year, but you know, it takes away attention from AJ Brown. So that offense, even without the engine that is Derrick Henry, who's coming back soon, can still stay afloat and maybe even make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I actually do agree with you about the Kyle Shanahan take. I just was saying that it's not good for him to only have one phenomenal year, then the rest just be either, you know, not, you know, average or pretty bad. So I think he's really going to have to start getting it together and getting the Niners to some wins in future seasons. But I don't think he's done. He's definitely a very good coach. He knows what he's doing. But yeah, I just wanted to say that. And I wanted to ask you, Alex, what do you think this loss does for the 49ers playoff chances?
The 49ers are going to get in. They're making the playoffs. I mean, who's going to beat them? The Eagles? I'm not confident in any of the other NFC playoff teams, like the wildcard teams. The Rams are going to be the first wildcard team. And then there's the three teams in contention for the other two wildcard spots are the Vikings, the Niners, and the Eagles. And the Niners, to me, are easily the best team of those three. So I think they're safe either way. Even though they have a couple of tough matchups coming up, I think they're safe.
I don't know. I mean, I did think that they were the team that was going to make it. But, I mean, looking at it right now, the Eagles have not the hardest schedule coming up. I mean, I don't trust the Eagles. As an Eagles fan, I don't trust us to win these games. But, you know, it's definitely possible. We're playing some divisional rivals. We have Washington coming up again. We have Giants this week. And we have Dallas. And, you know, Dallas hasn't looked that great in recent weeks. I do think if everyone plays as good as they can, if Dallas even, you know, rests some players, I think that might be a win. And then the Giants and Washington should be a win. So, you know, the Eagles are looking to potentially win out for the rest of the year. I'm not saying they will, but potentially. Vikings looking at it. I mean, I think they're going to lose to the Rams this Sunday. But after that, I mean, they play the Bears and they play the Packers. And, you know, late season, the Vikings beat the Packers once already. Who knows? So, you know, I don't think the Niners are safe. I think they probably will make it. I don't know. We'll see. Before I said they won't, but looking at it now, I think they might make it. But this loss is just not good for them in general, not good for their momentum. And I honestly don't think they're going to do much in the playoffs, even if they do make it. I don't think they're that great of a team. It's just my opinion.
The Niners, they have the Texans and the Rams upcoming, which the Texans should be a win. And the Niners just seem to have the Rams number in general. So I see them finishing at 10-7. But then the Vikings, I see losing two out of their next three, which puts them at 9-8. It puts them at 8-9. And the Eagles, I see winning two out of their next three, which puts them at 9-8. So I see the Vikings being the odd team out there, and then the Niners being safe comfortably in that second wildcard spot.
I don't think that the Niners are going to beat the Rams in that one, but I mean, we'll see. We'll see. The other team in this game was the Titans. And in my opinion, you know, the Titans won this game. I think they're pretty comfortably going to be a playoff team no matter what, just with their record based on how good they were to start out the season. But I personally don't think the Titans are a very strong team. We've talked about this in past segments. I really don't think they're doing anything, even if they do, you know, make it into the playoffs, even if they do win their division, which, you know, still up in the air with the Colts playing as good as they are. But yeah, I mean, if AJ Brown's healthy, if they could get him working in the offense, I do think that gives them more of a shot. to win, you know, a game or two in the playoffs, but I just can't see them being a great team in the playoffs. I can't see them being a strong team.
You have to keep in mind that they're going to get Derrick Henry back.
I know. I still don't think they're the upper echelon team that a lot of people have thought that they've been this year.
No, they're definitely not upper echelon, but I can easily see them. Right now, they would be slated to play Buffalo, which Buffalo can't stop the run whatsoever. So I'd take the Titans over Buffalo there.
I don't know. I think, you know, I've been against Buffalo for a while, but I think Josh Allen finds a way to win that game.
That's the single worst matchup for Buffalo, in my opinion.
It's not a great matchup, but I mean, that Buffalo team is very resilient. You know, they've had a lot go wrong, and they haven't had the best of seasons, but they're in a position to make the playoffs, and I think they're going to make it further than I initially thought they would. I think Josh Allen's going to be able to get them somewhat far in the playoffs, but that's a conversation for another day. Yeah, that was an interesting Thursday night game, and, you know, we'll have to see what happens for both of those teams in the future. Okay. So the next topic we're going to talk about quickly is the COVID situation around the league. And this is pretty huge. I mean, it's, you know, the NFL went through a majority of this season without much going on with the COVID situation. Most of the players are vaccinated. Cases have been controlled very well so far. And games haven't had to, you know, haven't had to be rescheduled or moved until this week. But this week has been crazy, Alex. It's been awful. Players, you know, on every single team have gotten COVID. There's been, you know, some teams with huge outbreaks. And I'm really worried that this is going to affect the playoffs and how the playoffs have to run. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you saw a lot of players going out on the COVID list last week, and the games reflected that. The games this week were really poor quality, and dare I even say, like, preseason quality. It was really low scoring for the most part, and you just it's not good for the league to have all these players going out. The product just goes down in quality, but there's not really much to say more about that. You see postponed games, and the postponed games are just not as good as they would be if everyone had been healthy, which is obvious. But no, I don't know. There's not really much else to say.
No, yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you there. The games were awful last week. A lot of fans were pretty unhappy with, you know, what they were seeing there on the field. And, you know, just thinking up in the future, playoffs are coming up in three, four, five weeks. I mean, if this carries over into the playoffs, this is going to be a huge issue. If you have stars, if you get like Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, quarterbacks who are getting COVID, if you get, you know, Aaron Donald, guys like that, who, you know, are huge difference makers, guys who will basically make or break it if, you know, if they're on the field or not for you in the playoffs, you know, you need those guys on the field. So this is going to be a huge issue if the NFL can't get this under wraps. And it's not really the NFL's fault. Just in general, COVID is it's crazy right now what's going on with COVID. So, you know, that's just something to look out for in the future. You know, we can't really predict or, you know what's going to happen, but that's just something, you know, we wanted to talk about because it's a pretty big news story going on in the league right now as of this week and potentially could be huge in the playoffs.
I don't want to seem conspiratory or anything, but I don't see a way in which the NFL allows a playoff game to be played without a player like Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes gets COVID, I think they'll postpone the game until he's able to come back.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. And I mean, I think they should, because I don't think the Chiefs are winning anything without Mahomes at quarterback. I don't think, you know, if the Rams don't have Aaron Donald, that's huge. You know, you just can't go on without players like that. So, yeah, we're just going to have to see what happens with that. But something to monitor. Okay. The third thing we're going to be talking about is the Arizona Cardinals and what specifically is going on with them. This was a team who started off hot. They started out as the best team in the NFL through the first 7-8 weeks. They looked pretty much unstoppable. You know, D-Hop was injured early, but it didn't really matter. Kyler was looking like the MVP candidate. That defense was playing like one of the best defenses in recent years. It was pretty ridiculous. And people were already starting to crown Cliff Kingsbury as, you know, a good coach. People were already saying that the Cardinals were, you know, potentially a Super Bowl contender. And then flash forward to right now, week 16. Too much going on. But week 16, and the Cardinals are looking awful. They just lost to the, you know, the Detroit Lions. Everyone's getting hurt, and they can't seem to figure things out. Kyler Murray somehow made the Pro Bowl. We'll talk about Pro Bowl a little bit later, but he somehow made the Pro Bowl, even though he's been awful the last couple weeks. And, you know, just nothing looks right on that offense. So this is, you know, a pretty crazy situation to think about. The Cardinals were a team who looked like they were going to win that division easily. And with some recent losses, it looks like it could be the Rams division to win. Alex, do you think that the Cardinals are burnt out? Do you think that, you know, they're going to gain any of that momentum that they had earlier in the season back in these next upcoming weeks?
I'd say that they'll be able to get right, but the Cardinals have just had a really bad stretch. They went through many injuries, including to Kyler Murray. And ever since Kyler Murray came back, he just hasn't been the same. DeAndre Hopkins is out until at least the NFC Championship game, if they can make it there. And without those two, their offense just doesn't have that same explosive energy that they had in the beginning of the season that allowed them to be the number one seed. So with that being said, with all the injuries, I think that with Kyler Murray coming back and with more time to recover from that injury, that they'll be able to gain some of that momentum back. But I don't know that they're going to be able to do much in the playoffs. I think that there's some issues with Kyler Murray as a leader, it seems. And I can't personally say that anything definitively because I'm not in that locker room. I'm not on that team, obviously. But it seems that they don't handle adversity well. It seems like when they go down, they kind of just roll over, especially against the Lions. Carson Palmer tweeted out or said in an interview that even when you're down against the Lions, you have to act like you're resilient there. And Kyler Murray, it just seems like, doesn't do that. And Cliff Kingsbury also doesn't seem like the type of coach that does that. So that has to be a real source of concern, especially with the playoffs coming up. That's when you need to be the most resilient. You saw the Chiefs a couple of years ago go down in every playoff game and manage to claw back from those deficits every single time. They won the Super Bowl that way. And I just don't see that kind of mental toughness with the Cardinals.
Yeah, one thing you said about Kyler, you don't quite see him being as good of a leader maybe as some people think he is. You know, he's not able to fight back in big games. He's not able to step up and show that he's the number one guy, that he's not that he's number one guy, him to step up and show that he can lead a team to victory no matter what. And that's been very evident over these last couple of weeks that he's played. I don't think he's 100% after that injury. He really doesn't look 100%. And, you know, we saw that in the Rams game. They had a shot in the fourth quarter, that last drive. They had a shot to march down the field, and Kyler just couldn't get anything going. And it was really his fault. You know, he was, you know, in the pocket, wasn't looking at the right reads. Then he was trying to roll out, and the offensive line wasn't protecting for him. There was nothing he could really do about it. And I mean, I just think that if Kyler Murray can't start getting things on track, I think the Cardinals are personally done. You said you think they're going to get right. I just don't know. DeAndre Hopkins not going to be on the team for these next 5-6 weeks coming up. So, you know, they're really going to have to start putting things together. And I think that starts with just Kyler Murray playing better football. We haven't seen him have a great game since October. And, you know, the Cardinals are 3-4 since week 8, which is not good at all. This was a team that won their first.
Well, in all fairness, they had to start first seven Colt games. McCoy.
I don't care if you have Colt McCoy. You have one of the best defenses in the league. You have a pretty good rushing attack, good weapons. This O-line has played well this year. I mean, I know you can't expect Colt McCoy to go out there and be a great quarterback because he's not. He's a backup quarterback. But what you do expect is you expect the Cardinals to at least put up a fight against the Rams. And I mean, they did, but that last drive, they really had a shot at coming back and tying the game, and they couldn't do anything about it. And then they go to Detroit, which should be an easy win, a game that could, you know, a get right game. And they get blown out by the, you know, the Lions, who've only won one game before this. So, you know, I just think recently the Cardinals haven't been great. Even the games they have won, they beat Chicago a couple weeks ago. You know, that offense just didn't even look right in that game. They're lucky they played Chicago.
It didn't need to. Chicago just gifted them turnovers in Chicago territory four times.
But exactly. But that's not how you win football games in the NFL. You know, you could get lucky playing.
That's exactly how you win football games. Your defense gets you turnovers and you have easy scoring opportunities.
That's not how you win playoff games, Alex. It's not. You're not going to be playing Chicago in the playoffs. You're not going to be playing, you know, Chicago. You're lucky to play Chicago because they're one of the worst teams in the league. You know, you're lucky to play a team like that. You're not going to get that with any other team in this league. So what's really going to have to happen is Kyler's going to have to start, you know, creating plays, even if that means just running the football more, even if that means, you know, taking more checkdowns. He just hasn't been able to make the plays that he was making earlier in this year. And I do think that's partly because he's injured, partly because of D-Hop not being there. But I think the issue is Kyler Murray right now. And I personally don't think it's going to get right. I think, you know, I think Kyler's going to struggle for, you know, until the end of the season. And then I think they're going to have an early playoff exit.
That's
just my opinion.
I think these next couple weeks are going to be huge for Cliff Kingsbury, because Cliff Kingsbury is going to need to show his coaching chops here. You have some really interesting weapons on that team that you could get really creative with on designing plays. You have Rondale Moore, you have Chase Edmonds, and that offense just isn't creative enough for the type of talent that they have on there. It seems that a lot of their run game is just runs up the middle. And yes, they give Rondale Moore like an end around every game, but that's not enough. You hardly ever see Chase Edmonds running routes out of the backfield. Like that's, you do see him running routes, but Kyler just doesn't hit him. They need to get Chase Edmonds more involved in the passing game, because he excels in the pass game more than he does as a runner. And Rondale Moore is a straight up gadget that you can use. And you just don't see those two guys being used enough. You see a lot of just prayers to DeAndre Hopkins that just don't work for them. And especially now, well, obviously you don't have DeAndre Hopkins. So you really need to start getting more creative on offense if you want to get far in the playoffs. So I think that's going to be a real telling factor of Cliff Kingsbury's abilities.
This is a moment where Cliff Kingsbury is really being tested as a head coach. Like you're saying, I think this will, you know, for me, at least, it'll dictate how good of a head coach he is. And I know that's like stupid to say over only a 4 or 5 game sample size, but this is really what it comes down to. If we could see if he has the ability to take a good offense, a good defense, some good players, and make the most out of them. James Conner is questionable for this upcoming Sunday, but it looks like he's going to play. And so, I mean, you know, that's a guy who made the Pro Bowl. That's a guy you need to continue to use, continue to give the ball in the red zone. You know, Christian Kirk is a guy who's going to have to step up. AJ Green's going to have to play like 2015 AJ Green if they want to, you know, make anything or do anything in the playoffs. So, you know, these are just some things to think about, some things for Cliff Kingsbury to think about, to implement into that offense. Defense is pretty good, but I mean, they gave up 30 to Detroit last week. So, I mean, it's not something to be happy about. And, you know, ultimately, I don't think they're making it far in the playoffs, but we'll see. We'll see what Cliff Kingsbury could do with what he's given. That's honestly what it comes down to. If Cliff can coach well, they can get past, you know, some of the things that they're struggling through right now. But I personally don't think he's a great coach, so I don't think he'll be able to craft anything together.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm excited to see. So the last thing we have for today, besides our game predictions, is the big news that came out this week, the Pro Bowl rosters. So we're going to go position by position for each conference and, you know, say if we have any disputes with what the selections turned out to be. So I'm going to start with the quarterback position. In the AFC, you have Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Lamar Jackson. And then the NFC, you have Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Kyler Murray. I personally have no issues with the AFC. I think those are the three easy selections to make. But I am seeing a problem with Kyler Murray being on the Pro Bowl team for the NFC. Kyler Murray, he's missed a few games. And even when he came back after those missed games, he just hasn't really been the same Kyler Murray, as we just talked about. So I think the selection to make there over him is Matthew Stafford of the Rams. I am personally not a big Matthew Stafford fan. In fact, Michael will vouch for me that I am constantly talking down on him because I just don't think he's the quarterback that you want on a Super Bowl contending team. I think he's going to fold in the playoffs. But that's besides the point, because he's had an excellent regular season for the Rams, and he's proven why he was the quarterback that they needed to get over Jared Goff thus far. So I think he's the easy selection to make over Kyler Murray. Even if Kyler Murray had been lighting it up for the Rams after the injury, I think that he still missed too many games to be considered over Matthew Stafford. So that's my take on the quarterback position.
So I will talk about Stafford right now a little bit. I think it's foolish for you to not like Matt Stafford and to think, you know, he may be overrated a little bit. I think Matt Stafford, especially this year, has just proven that he can be an elite quarterback when he's put in the right situation. And yeah, he hasn't had the best of games, especially around that, you know, week 8 to week 11, 12 stretch. He wasn't playing the best, but he makes some ridiculous throws that, you know, he has such great arm talent. You know, he's a smart football player, and that's the reason why the Rams traded for him. And like you said, he's had a great year, definitely should be a starter in the Pro Bowl. I really don't know why Kyler's in there over him. I know Kyler had a lot of success early on, but that's early on. We need to look at the whole picture, and Matt Stafford has been the better quarterback and deserves to be in the Pro Bowl over Kyler Murray. So agree with you there. And then looking in the AFC, a lot of people were upset about the Lamar Jackson pick. And first off, I want to say, I think Lamar has been better than the stats show. You know, he, in the last 5 games, he's thrown 8 picks to 6 touchdowns, which is not good at all. But we also have to look at that in context. 4 of those picks came against Cleveland in that one awful game. So, you know, you have to take that into consideration that 4 of Lamar's 13 picks are against one team, one really bad game. So, yeah, we have to keep that in mind. We also have to keep in mind how fantastic Lamar was against the Indianapolis Colts in week 5. That was one of the best games I've seen from a quarterback ever. That was just ridiculous. But, you know, I like one guy over Lamar, and this may surprise some of you. It's not Josh Allen. The guy I like over Lamar is Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr has led the Raiders to a better year than they should be right now. You know, Henry Ruggs, that whole thing happened. You know, Darren Waller has been out for the last couple of weeks, and Derek Carr is still operating this offense successfully. He's implemented Hunter Renfrow, made him thrown into him a lot. Now Hunter Renfrow looks like one of the top receivers in the league. I know he's not, but he's looked great over the last couple of weeks. Derek Carr's had a very good year. He's one of the top, you know, passing leaders in yards right now. 19 touchdowns to 11 picks, 68% completion percentage. I think Derek Carr deserves the spot over Lamar Jackson.
I think that's foolish.
Not foolish.
Derek Carr, to me, is straight up average. He's a little above average, I'll give you that. But there's no standout performances to me from Derek Carr that would tell me that, oh, Derek Carr should be a Pro Bowler. Lamar has had some amazing performances this year. The one that sticks out to the most is Monday Night Football against the Colts when he took them back from the large deficit. That's one of the best games I've seen all season from a quarterback. And Lamar had an amazing start to this season. We talked about it in one of the earlier episodes that Lamar is one of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL. And the Pro Bowl selection reflects that to me. I don't think you could say the same about Derek Carr. In fact, you cannot say the same about Derek Carr. He's not one of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL. And to me, he just doesn't deserve the Pro Bowl selection. If we're replacing Lamar Jackson, which to me you shouldn't, it has to be Josh Allen.
I just want to say that, you know, when we're picking these Pro Bowl selections, it's not based on who's the best quarterback. It's based on who has the best season, who has been the best player this season. And I do agree with you there that Derek Carr is, you know, maybe a little bit above average, but he's nowhere near Lamar in terms of talent, in terms of skill. Derek Carr is not a top 10 quarterback in the league, but this year he's been far more consistent than Lamar has. You mentioned Lamar had a great beginning of the season, which he did. I talked about that. But like I said, the last 5 weeks, Lamar's been awful. This Ravens offense has just been atrocious, and they really need to get back on track. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there, but Derek Carr has had some standout games against the Cowboys. He had that great game on Thanksgiving. Week 2 against the Steelers, he was off awesome. I think he almost had 400 yards that game. I'm not going to get too much more into Derek Carr because I think, you know, I'm one of the people, you know, most people don't agree with me there. Most people have Josh Allen and Lamar above Derek Carr. I just personally think that he's, you know, accelerated that Raiders team. He's propelled them to a place that they really shouldn't be in right now based on the talent that they have around them. So that's just my opinion. But yeah, I do like most of those picks at quarterback. And yeah, I mean, those are the only two that I had issues with. So, but I think, you know, generally they're pretty good picks. I think next we should move on to running backs. And, you know, when we look at the NFC running backs we have are Dalvin Cook, James Conner, and Alvin Kamara. And the AFC running backs are Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, and Joe Mixon. Now, I will start talking first. I personally have no issues with the AFC running backs. Jonathan Taylor is a lock, obviously. Nick Chubb has had sort of an off year, but that's not really his fault. He still played at an elite level when he's gotten the football. That offense just is awful, but I think he really deserves that spot in the Pro Bowl, so keeping him there. And then Joe Mixon has looked really good in this improved Cincinnati offense. He's really done his part this year. I think, you know, he proved a lot of people wrong that he still is a very good running back, even despite, you know, what happened in 2020, even some inconsistencies in 2019. He's been good. But NFC, I personally think that, you know, I wouldn't personally put Alvin Kamara in the Pro Bowl. I really think that one of the spots in the NFC should be for Cordarrelle Patterson. And Cordarrelle Patterson is a tough guy to, you know, put in because you could put him in as a running back or a receiver. You know, he plays a lot of different roles in that Atlanta offense, but he's just been so good this year. He's produced so much. You know, Calvin Ridley is not on the team, not with the team right now, but Cordarrelle Patterson has proven that, you know, even at, you know, the old age that he is, that he could be the star of the team. And Alvin Kamara hasn't quite had as good of a year as he usually does. Without Drew Brees, he's, you know, struggled a little bit in that Sean Payton offense. I just don't think Alvin Kamara deserves it over Cordarrelle Patterson. But I want to hear your takes on that, on these running backs, Alex.
I have a lot of takes on these running backs. First of all, I'll start with the AFC because I only have one gripe with them. Nick Chubb should not be a Pro Bowler this year. As you said, he's had an off year. And to me, there's a very obvious replacement in the AFC, and that's going to be Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler has had an incredible year with multiple insane performances, especially against the Steelers. He had four touchdowns on Sunday Night Football. And Austin Eckler has been like the engine of that explosive Chargers offense. All the emphasis goes on Justin Herbert and the receivers, but Austin Eckler has been amazing for them in the run game and the pass game. So he just has to be in there over Nick Chubb to me. And then in the NFC, I don't know that I can say that Dalvin Cook, James Conner, or Alvin Kamara have had these insane years that they should definitively be Pro Bowlers. I think you can find an argument for each one of those three guys why they shouldn't be. Dalvin Cook, he's missed a couple games, and he just hasn't had that same superstar season that you've seen from him like last year. James Conner, in the beginning of the season, before Edmonds got hurt, really didn't do much between the 20s. He was an incredible red zone weapon, and he scored a ton of touchdowns this year, but you don't see that same kind of every down usage from James Conner while Edmonds was playing that you can say all season that he's been a Pro Bowl caliber player. Alvin Kamara, he's missed four games, and in some games he just hasn't been the same. And so to me, there's a couple other running backs that you could say should have made the Pro Bowl. Fournette has had an incredible year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cordarrelle Patterson, you mentioned, has had a great career resurgence with the Falcons. So I don't necessarily disagree with any of these three running backs in the AFC, or the NFC, I mean, but I also think that there were some other guys that you could easily put in there, and I would have no issue with that.
Fair takes. Okay. So, you want to get into the wide receivers?
Yeah, I'll move on to the receivers. In the NFC, you have Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, and Deebo Samuel. And in the AFC, you have Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Jamar Chase, and Keenan Allen. Now, the NFC is perfect. I don't think you can name four better receivers that play in the NFC, period, let alone this season.
Agreed.
So I'll move on to the AFC, where I'm not sure that you could put in Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase has had a very so-so year for me. The first half of the season, he's been incredible. But then around week 8-ish, I would say, defenses started to key in on him a little more, and he just wasn't that same receiver that you saw in the beginning. So I think that, looking at it, I don't know that there's anyone else you could put over him either. To tell you the truth, maybe Diontae Johnson of the Steelers you could fit in there. who's had a very good season and is very consistent, but I don't know, actually. I don't know.
Yeah, I disagree with you there, Alex. Ja'Marr Chase needs to be in the Pro Bowl. And the drop issues are there. I do agree with that. I think he's one of the weaker choices for the Pro Bowl in the AFC just because of that. But you look at Tyreek, too. Tyreek has had some drop issues. He's had some dropped passes that have turned to picks, which was a big issue midseason for the Chiefs. So, yeah, but his stats, you know, over 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, that's pretty ridiculous for a rookie. I think Ja'Marr Chase has been such a standout player and has, you know, helped that Bengals offense, you know, so much so that I think that he needs to be in the Pro Bowl, at least in my opinion. So I can't take him out. My personal issue with these AFC receivers is I think Deontay Johnson deserves to be in here. And the issue is I don't really know who I want to replace him with, but I do want to say this. I think Deontay Johnson probably deserves to be in here over Stephon Diggs and over Keenan Allen. And not because he's a better receiver, because he's had the better season. Like I said before, that's how the Pro Bowl should be evaluated, in my opinion. He's been statistically a little bit better than both of them. So I think, you know, he's also been the number one weapon for a Steelers offense that, you know, needs a number one weapon who, you know, they don't have AB anymore, don't have Bell. So, you know, Deontay Johnson has stepped up. I think he deserves this Pro Bowl selection, but I'm not too mad with Allen or Diggs, so I'm not going to really get too far into that, but that's just one little thing I have. I think Deontay Johnson should be in there.
Yeah, so you want to move on to tight ends?
Yeah, I got tight ends. So for the AFC, we had Mark Andrews of the Baltimore Ravens and Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs. And then looking in the NFC, we had George Kittle of the 49ers and Kyle Pitts of the Atlanta Falcons. So first, I'll talk about the NFC. These two picks are perfect. Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce have been the two best tight ends in the league this year. And I want to emphasize this year because they've both been healthy pretty much the whole time, or at least they've both played the whole time. So yeah, those are both are the right picks for the AFC. Looking at the NFC, we have George Kittle and Kyle Pitts. And I think these are two pretty good picks. Kittle is great. He's a lock. You know, he was hurt, but these last couple of weeks, he's just been insane. He's been insane. And I think he's, at least in my brain, he's, you know, proven that he's the best tight end in the league. In my opinion, I think George Kittle is the best tight end in the league when he's healthy. So he's a lock there for me. But Kyle Pitts, I just don't know. I mean, he's been good. He, you know, we know how talented he is coming out of the draft for the Falcons. He only has one touchdown though this year. I know he has a lot of yards, but it feels like those are kind of empty yards. It feels like they don't really have many guys to throw to. I think Kyle Pitts has just been, you know, he's just been getting the ball because he's the only guy really there besides Cordarrelle Patterson. So I don't think he's been, you know, the second best tight end in the NFC. I honestly think, you know, you can maybe give this to Dalton Schultz or another tight end who's, you know, been a little bit more impactful for their team. But I don't hate this pick too much. You know, I guess he sort of deserves it. What do you think about this one, Alex?
I do like all four picks for the Pro Bowl tight ends, but I am also in agreement with you here that Kyle Pitts, I don't think deserves it necessarily in a vacuum. But when you look at the context of the rest of the NFC, Kyle Pitts kind of gets in by default because the only other guy that I would say is in contention for the second tight end spot of the NFC is Dallas Goedert. And I don't think Dallas Goedert has done enough to overtake Kyle Pitts for the second Pro Bowl spot. In an ideal world where we're not doing this by conference, your top four are easily George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, and Mark Andrews. But you can't do that because three of them play in the AFC. So I think the next guy in that on that list is Kyle Pitts. So he kind of just gets it by default.
Yeah.
So I'll move on to the fullbacks and linemen here. I don't really have much to say. Kyle Juszczyk and Patrick Ricard are the fullbacks and they're deserving. You don't see other fullbacks really getting used. So you kind of just have to pick those two guys. And then to make this shorter than it necessarily can be, I'll just go rapid fire on these linemen. NFC, you have Trent Williams, Tristan Wirfs, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Brandon Scherff, Ali Marpet, Jason Kelce, and Ryan Jensen. And then the AFC, you have Orlando Brown, Rashawn Slater, Deion Dawkins, Quentin Nelson, Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, Ryan Kelly, and Corey Linsley. So I don't think there's really many snubs here. It's linemen though, so I personally can't really talk about them much. I think you look at linemen a little more than I do. So do you have anything to say about these?
Yeah. Generally, these linemen are pretty good, both AFC and NFC. I do just want to say quickly that an AFC snub, it was Creed Humphrey, rookie, Kansas City Chiefs, a center who I liked a lot out of the draft, but I didn't think he was going to be this good. I didn't think he'd be this good. I personally would replace, I would put him over Ryan Kelly, although Ryan Kelly is a great center. So I'm honestly not mad with his selection. I just think Creed Humphrey has been the best center in the league this season, at least from a play standpoint, maybe not talent wise, but from a play standpoint. So yeah, I do think Creed Humphrey is a snub there. And then one other small thing I had an issue with is Tyron Smith on the Dallas Cowboys. He's obviously one of the best tackles in the league when he's fully healthy, but he hasn't been fully healthy this year. One guy who has played pretty much the same as him, who has been on the field and who has been more healthy, is Andrew Whitworth. I know he's old, but I do think that Andrew Whitworth has played at an elite level, even at the age that he's at. I would put him over Tyron Smith this year for the Pro Bowl, personally. And another thing is, I'm not quite sure that Quentin Williams should have made, or not Quentin Williams, sorry, my bad. Quentin Nelson should have made it this year. Obviously, he's one of the best guards in the league, but he's having his worst career year, partly because he's been injured, but, you know, for other factors. I don't know who I'd replace him with. I haven't done too much insight on this, but one thing, I just not sure if Quentin Nelson quite deserves that selection at offensive guard this year for the AFC. But those are really, that's all I really have. I think most of these selections are pretty good. And, you know, it's harder to evaluate offensive linemen. So, yeah, just want to put that out there.
Yeah, it seems like Quentin Nelson is more of a name selection there.
Yeah, that's more so what I'm saying.
It's perfectly reasonable, though, to me.
Yeah, he's a great player, though. So, I mean, I'm not even mad about it. I just think, you know, this is his worst career year. So, potentially, you could replace him with someone else. But, yeah, I'm not too eager to do that. I think we should just move on to defense. And the first position for defense is defensive end. So looking at the AFC defensive end selections, we have Myles Garrett, we have Max Crosby, and we have Trey Hendrickson. And then at the NFC, we have Nick Bosa, Brian Burns, and Cam Jordan. And personally, I'm pretty happy with most of these selections. Nick Bosa, comeback player of the year, in my opinion, 15 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 19 tackles for loss, which leads the league. He needs to be a selection for the NFC. And like I said, he should be comeback player of the year. Cam Jordan's always great. Don't need to talk about him. One guy that you could replace, in the AFC, in my opinion, is Max Crosby. And he's been great, but he hasn't had a sack since week 5. You know, he's been a great pass rusher, but, you know, he's one of those guys who I'm kind of on the fence here. I'm not quite sure if I would necessarily put him in here if I was choosing who would make the Pro Bowl, but I'm not really mad at the Max Crosby selection. That's just the only one that I think I would really, you know, single out as, you know, maybe not quite being as deserving as the other ones.
Yeah, I see no issues with these listed as defensive end. I'm going to move on and include, when we say defensive end, you're also going to think of the 3-4 defensive ends, and those guys listed as outside linebackers are going to be Chandler Jones, Robert Quinn, and Shaq Barrett in the NFC, and then Joey Bosa, TJ Watt, and Matt Judon in the AFC. The AFC, I'd say, is perfect. Matt Judon's had an incredible year, TJ Watt's had an incredible year, and Joey Bosa is always dominant. Chandler Jones has had an incredible year. Robert Quinn has had another resurgence, which it feels like he has a resurgence every other year. It seemed like his career is going to go down, and then he just comes right back in and starts dominating again. And Shaq Barrett is proving why he's one of the top defensive ends in the league. He's backing up his performance from last year. So I see no issues with those guys. Do you see anything wrong with those?
I do not. I like all of those selections. I don't really think we need to talk about those much. Pretty good selections. I think it's crazy Robert Quinn made it. You know, all things considered, but he's had a great season. So, yeah, I do like all of those selections. Next, we're going to be talking about interior linemen. Aaron Donald in the NFC, Jonathan Allen in the NFC, Kenny Clark in the NFC. And then in the AFC, DeForest Buckner, Chris Jones, and Cameron Hayward. Alex, your thoughts?
I see no issues with those. But I'm going to go to interior linebackers here. And for some reason, I'm seeing Micah Parsons listed as an interior linebacker, which I disagree strongly with in the NFC, because I'm going to go ahead and replace Shaq Barrett with Micah Parsons as an outside linebacker, because Micah Parsons has done a lot of pass rushing this year. And then I'm going to throw in Devondre Campbell of the Packers in Micah Parsons' spot as an interior linebacker, because Devondre Campbell has been one of the reasons that the Packers' defense has been so good this year. He bounced around a little bit after leaving Atlanta. He was with Arizona and didn't really excel there. And then once he got to Green Bay, he's been a really big leader of their defense and he's put up some numbers. He's got a lot of tackles this season, and he's just had another career resurgence, just like Robert Quinn had a career resurgence, and definitely deserves to be a Pro Bowler this year to me.
I agree there with Campbell. I think he's been great this year. I think he's one of the biggest snubs. So I love what you said about him. And I just want to go backtrack a second. I wasn't quite done with interior defensive lineman. Oh no, you're all good. One guy who I think was a snub, who definitely should have made it, is Jeffrey Simmons on the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, looking at it, I think he could have made it over Chris Jones. I think he could have made it over Cam Hayward. So I personally would put him over both of those guys for interior linemen in the AFC. He's had a great year. I don't think he quite gets the recognition he deserves just because he's not quite a huge name and because the Titans don't have that great of a defense. But he has had a career year. He's had a great year. I think he's going to be good for many years to come. 7.5 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, 39 quarterback pressures. He's been great. And I think he really deserves a spot in interior linemen. Although I do agree with what you said about Campbell. So, yeah, I do agree with you there. Do you want to do the next one, Alex?
Yeah. For the interior linebackers in the AFC, we have Darius Leonard and Denzel Perryman. And Darius Leonard, I think, is the best interior linebacker in the league. So I think that's a safe pick. And then Denzel Perryman, I'm not sure that he should have made it. I think one guy that we could look at is Logan Wilson for the Bengals. Logan Wilson's had an incredible second year, and he's just been racking up the tackles this season. He's injured right now, but before that, he had 50 solo tackles and another 40 assisted, plus a sack, and then 4 interceptions. So I think he should be in there over Denzel Perryman.
Yeah, I think I disagree with that a little bit. I think Perryman's been really good for the Raiders. He's been one of the staples for a team that doesn't have much defensive talent. So I wouldn't quite put Logan Wilson over Denzel Perryman, but I do think that, you know, Logan Wilson does deserve more recognition because, like I said, you know, we've been talking the teams who don't have good defenses, who don't get a lot of action in the news. You know, a lot of players are going under the radar among most NFL fans. So the Bengals defense is definitely one that I think is being underrated. Most of the players are being underrated. You know, some of the stars on that defense, most people don't even know who they are. So yeah, I do want to say that, although I think I disagree there a little bit. Perryman has been great this year, in my opinion. But let's move on to some cornerbacks. In the NFC, we have Trayvon Diggs, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, and Marshon Lattimore. And then in the AFC, we have J.C. Jackson, Xavien Howard, Denzel Ward, and Kenny Moore. And I don't have too many issues with this, except in the NFC, why is A.J. Terrell not on this list? You know, looking at the list, Trayvon Diggs is great. Ramsey's great. Slay is great. Should be in here. And Lattimore's had a great year, but I personally don't see a reason why someone would put Lattimore over Terrell. Terrell has been so good this year. He's been so good. He's been, you know, he has not let any receivers do anything against him. And I really think he deserves a spot on this list. Not deserves. He should be on this list. That might be the biggest snub, in my opinion, is that AJ Terrell does not get a Pro Bowl selection this season.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly there. And besides that, I think the only other argument you can really make here is that maybe JC Jackson didn't deserve it. But there's nobody else you could really say did deserve it definitively. I mean, Pat Surtain has had a great year in his rookie year, but I'm not sure that you can say him over JC Jackson. So I don't really have any other gripes with the Pro Bowl corner wise, at least
with JC Jackson. I mean, he's not the best player, in my opinion. He's not the best corner, but he's had consistent good years, you know, back to back. And I do think he deserves it this year. The AFC doesn't quite have the corner talent that the NFC does. And I really can't, I don't think I could see me putting anybody else over JC Jackson, at least this season, for where he is. So yeah, I do think that's a good pick for them to put him in AFC.
All right. For safeties, you in the NFC, you have Quandre Diggs of the Seahawks, Buda Baker of the Cardinals, and Harrison Smith of the Vikings. And then in the AFC, that was the NFC. In the AFC, you have Kevin Byard of the Titans, Derwin James of the Chargers, and Tyrann Mathieu of the Chiefs. I'm not sure that you could put Tyrann Mathieu in here with the start of the season he had. He missed a couple games, and he just really didn't excel. So I don't know that you can keep him in there, but I'm also not sure that you could really replace him with anyone. I don't think there's anyone that's had a standout year over Tyrann Mathieu this year. So I personally have no complaints here with the safeties.
I do not have any complaints with the safeties either, but I do want to backtrack a second. I can't believe I forgot this. I wanted to say this. Another guy who I think should have made it over Lattimore is Amani Oruwariye. Amani has been fantastic on the Lions, and he's a guy who just hasn't gotten enough recognition. He was a fifth round pick in 2019, and he has been lights out. He's their best defensive player, I think, this year. So he's a guy who's had a better year than Marshon Lattimore. It just comes down to name value, and this is a guy who most people don't know who he is. So that's the reason why Lattimore made it over Terrell and Oruwariye. But I think both of them deserve it over Lattimore. Just wanted to put that in there quickly.
Yeah. You want to go ahead with special teams? Just kind of run through them real quick.
So I just want to say, I don't think either of us know anything about long snappers. So
I'm in agreement there.
Yeah. In the AFC, Luke Rhodes of the Colts made it, a name I recognize, but I don't even know, like, you know, and Josh Harris made it of the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC. We're not going to talk about that. I'm sure they're deserving of it if they made it. And then punter, NFC, Brian Anger of the Dallas Cowboys made it, and AJ Cole of the Las Vegas Raiders made it. I have no issues with either of them. I don't even really know AJ Cole. I think I saw a couple of his punts earlier in the year, but I do know from watching Dallas play before that Brian Anger is a good punter, so no issues there. Do you have any issues with any of those, Alex, or can I continue?
In the NFC, I'm good. Special teams wise.
Okay. Yeah. And then when we look at the rest of the special teams positions, I'll just go quickly. NFC, Matt Gay, kicker of the Rams, Jakeem Grant, returner for the Chicago Bears, and JT Gray, special teamer from the Saints. And then in the AFC, just to go quickly, Justin Tucker, kicker, Devin Duvernay as return specialist, and Matthew Slater as the special teamer for the Patriots. Tucker needed to make it as a place kicker. One guy I think could have made it in the NFC over Matt Gay is Jake Elliott. And I know that may be a little biased as an Eagles fan, but Elliott has been great as a kicker this year. He hasn't missed anything. When we need him, he's been there. So I do think Elliott is as deserving as Gay is, but I'm fine with Matt Gay there. Jakeem Grant has been great, so I like that. And Devin Duvernay is also one of the best returners in the league, so no issues with Devin Duvernay as a return specialist. And then Matt Slater makes it every single year for the Patriots. So, I mean, you can't really say anything about that.
I do actually have a couple issues here with the AFC. I think you could very easily put Nick Folk in there as the place kicker instead of Justin Tucker. But since Justin Tucker set the record for longest field goal ever, I'll give him that. But over Devin Duvernay, I think should be Isaiah Rodgers of the Colts. You see Isaiah Rodgers have several big plays over the year, and you feel good about him returning it. He's, I'd say, a top three returner in the league right now. So I think he has to be the selection there over Devin Duvernay.
That's fair. Duvernay has had a very good return year, though. I honestly think that, you know, that's a tough conversation to have. I do get why he made it over Isaiah Rodgers, but who knows? It's a good combo to have. But I think that pretty much wraps it up. We don't have too many issues with the Pro Bowl roster, but there are some things, like, you know, obviously that we said that some things that we would change if we were in charge of it. And I think there were a couple huge snubs that, you know, fans and the NFL really got wrong on this one. But yeah, it has been worse in past years, so I don't have too many issues with it. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. Do you agree with that, Alex?
Yeah, outside of a couple big ones, namely AJ Terrell and Matt Stafford, I think that they actually did pretty well with it this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, that wraps up our Pro Bowl talk. We're going to get into our last segment, which is the rapid fire predictions segment. I will go first. The Browns and the Packers are playing on Christmas Day. And this would have been an exciting matchup if it happened last year, but this isn't last year. The Browns stink, and they are going to lose by many scores.
Yeah, so I have the second Christmas Day game here. It's the Colts at the Cardinals, and the Colts, me and you are both very high on, and we just talked about the Cardinals, so you would think I'd pick the Colts, but the Colts are missing basically their entire offensive line, so I'm going to go Cardinals by a touchdown.
Next game, our first Sunday game, is the Lions and the Falcons. And am I going to do it? Am I going to do it? I hope not. I got the Lions in this one. Oh, gosh. I know. I mean, it's tough picking the Lions in any game, but they've won two out of their last three. They're playing a Falcons team that's not very strong. I think they're winning by a field goal in this one.
That's gutsy. So next I have the Ravens led by Tyler Huntley and the Bengals. So, you know what? I'm going to go with the Ravens. They almost beat the Packers last week with Tyler Huntley at quarterback, and I think they're going to keep that almost momentum into beating the Bengals here. The Bengals are really inconsistent, so I'm going to go with the Ravens by a field goal.
It's going to be a fun divisional game to watch. The next game that I have is the Rams versus Vikings. We already talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think the Rams are going to win this one. I just don't think the Vikings have enough to overtake the Rams. In my opinion, the Rams are still one of, if not the best team in the league. You know, you can make that argument, but yeah, I got the Rams in this one by about 10 points.
Next, we have another exciting divisional game. We have the Bills at the Patriots, and the Patriots are reeling a little bit. They lost to the Colts last week based off Jonathan Taylor's huge day or huge night. It was Saturday night, actually. And the Bills have been just off this year. So the first matchup we saw in the wind, you can't really take much away from that. But ultimately, the Bills can't stop the run, and the Patriots are really excellent in the run game. So I'm going to go Patriots by a touchdown.
Wow, I'm surprised by that coming from you.
Yeah, right?
Okay. The next one, possibly the worst game of this week, we have the Jaguars versus the Jets. This is not an exciting game for anybody, but surprisingly, I'm taking the Jaguars, and I don't know why, but I think this is the game where Trevor Lawrence is going to have, you know, without Urban Meyer, he's going to start getting things together. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy, but I think they'll win by 3 to 6 points.
Wow, that's a little bold.
Eh, both of them stink.
All right, next we have the Buccaneers at the Panthers, and even though the Buccaneers are missing a bunch of players, I mean, come on. Buccaneers by 2 scores at least.
Yep. And next I have the Chargers versus the Texans. And I mean, do I really have to say Chargers are winning this one by a lot of points?
And for the last 1 o'clock game, I have the Giants at the Eagles. The Giants have Jake Fromm starting at quarterback, and so that kind of just like gives them an easy L for me. So I'm going to go Eagles by 10, which is actually the line.
Okay, next one, we have the 4-10 Bears versus the 5-9 Seahawks. It's crazy the Seahawks are 5-9, but they are. And I have the Seahawks in this one. I mean, as bad as they have been, there's no way they lose to Matt Nagy's Bears. So I have the Seahawks in this one by a touchdown.
Next, I have the Steelers at the Chiefs. And this is another one of those come on games to me, because I think the Steelers are much worse than their 7-6-1 record. And it's the Chiefs. So Chiefs by a touchdown at least.
In the next one, we have the Broncos versus the Raiders. We have both made it very clear that we are not big Broncos fans. We don't think they're very good. And you just heard me earlier talking about how I think Derek Carr deserves to be in the Pro Bowl. So I think that Derek Carr and the Raiders are going to step up, and they're going to win this divisional matchup against the Broncos by 7 to 10 points.
For our Sunday night football matchup this week, we have Washington at Dallas. And I don't think Washington is very good, no matter who's playing quarterback for them. We saw Garrett Gilbert start for them on Tuesday. And so to me, that has to be the result that, like, the result is going to be Dallas by at least 10 points.
And the final game, the Monday night game, we have the Dolphins, who are red hot, versus the Saints, who are injured and so-so. And I'm taking the red hot Dolphins in this one. I think the Dolphins continue their win streak in this one. I think Tua has a pretty good game. I think they win by 14 points.
Oh, I like that pick. I like that one.
And so that concludes our rapid fire predictions. We hope you enjoyed. We hope that everybody listening has had a wonderful holiday break. And yeah, it's going to be good football this week. We're hoping for the best. So yeah, but like I said, enjoy whatever holidays you're celebrating. Just relax, have a good time, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.